It's time for Central Iowa Today. Here's Ken Hugge.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Central Iowa Today here on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM. Hey, it's time to catch up with someone we haven't had the chance to visit with here in a while. We welcome in Marshalltown Fire Chief David Ryerson. Chief, how's things?
They're good. How about you?
Well, we are doing just marvelous here. Can't complain about the weather, but I'm sure you and hordes of others would probably like to see a little bit of rain.
Would like to see that. I'm just glad that that terrible heat and humidity kind of broke,
yeah.
Which was nice. I know walking out of the station into the apparatus bay, my glasses would fog over, and it would take a few minutes for them to unfog. So I'm glad we're through that for a little bit.
You know, and in my time in Arkansas, which has been numerous times, you know, it would get to the point where you'd get the heat and then the humidity, and it just felt like kind of you were swimming through it. We got to that point a couple of days during that heat wave, so I'm glad that's all behind us. But the heat is still affecting firefighting, and it's still affecting how things happen. And interesting topic to talk about to begin with here today, one of spontaneous combustion, and that seems to be happening a little bit, and the weather and the temperatures and the low humidity maybe might be contributing to that?
Well, so specifically what we're talking about is we have seen over the course of the last 6 or 7 months, we've had some fires where people were either restaining their wood floors or refinishing furniture or cleaning furniture up and using, you know, mineral spirits, mm-hmm. and using stains and using linseed oil and stuff like that. And when you get those types of chemicals on rags and you leave them in a pile, they can generate enough heat to actually start a fire. And we've had a few of those this year.
So, I mean, so what do you do? I mean, you know, you use this linseed oil and all that. You're working with the stuff. You got the rags. I think we all tend to put rags in a pile and all of that. So is it just a matter of spreading the rags out a little bit? Is it as simple as that?
So well, it could be, yeah. So you want to take those rags and you want to lay them out. Don't lay them out flat on a concrete surface, and then let them dry. When you put them together in piles, they don't dry. The chemicals interact with each other, and then we end up having a spontaneous ignition.
Does it make any difference the room temperature or the area temperature where this is, or does it just with the closeness of the cloths and the rags just generate its own?
I would say it's possible that the temperature inside makes a difference, but in every instance there was one was this spring when the weather was cool, mm-hmm. and there was but the environment was warm inside the house, and then this most recent one, the air conditioner was running inside the house, so it was cool. So it's just how much chemicals on the rags, and how many rags do you have on top of each other, and you know, are they in a, you know, do you throw them like in a paper bag or a garbage bag, or what do you do with them? So, and that's been the problem.
Is it a problem with folks maybe not reading the directions on the chemicals on the containers when they get ready to use them?
Well, that could be, yes.
Not wanting to go much farther.
No,
there.
I don't think I will.
But that's the reason that they have all these warnings and everything, mm-hmm. on some of these things, because you know, if it's not maybe it's not necessarily the combustion, but maybe just having the fumes in the area and all of that. So you need to know what you're working with and educate yourself a little bit about it.
So I think another important thing to think about is it has to do with oils. So it could be vegetable cooking oil.
Mm.
You know, you get rags saturated with it. You launder them and you put them in the dryer and you heat all that up. You don't get all the oil out of it. Throw them in a basket, and then there's enough of the oil left in there to self-combust.
Do we see many garage fires because of this? Because a lot of times you're working in the garage, and you leave things in the garage in the pile and go, okay, I'll get to those later and all of that, or there's no pattern to it?
Just depends on where you're working. The last few that we've had have been inside the house.
Yeah.
So
how are we doing out there as far as the hot and the dry weather with the fires and all of that? We haven't had too many issues with with open burning fires or fires out in the fields. But, you know, pretty soon we're going to have that construction equipment out in the fields. And with as dry as it's been, do you think we have more of an issue possibly going forward with?
I think if we continue to see this dry weather like this, if we don't see any relief from it by fall, I would say there's going to be a greater chance of some of those fires. You know, it's not uncommon for a combine to catch fire in a field, mm-hmm. and, you know, as dry as it is, you know, maybe we could have some problems. Time will tell.
Are folks doing a pretty good job with their open burning?
Yeah, we had a little uptick in the open burnings this last couple of weeks, but for the most part, everybody seems to be doing a good job. We're not seeing any grass fires, or we're not seeing decks mm-hmm. catch on fire and stuff like that like we had before. So I think all in all, we're doing a good job, but we've still had some.
Remind folks again, when does the opportunity to open burning go away and the ban comes into effect again?
Okay, so by city ordinance, they can burn from April 1st through June 30th and from October 1st to November 30th.
Okay.
So we're slowly creeping up on that fall open burning time.
That fall open season. How about back to school? What do we need to keep in mind with the kids and all of that and ourselves as we all prepare for schools to go back into session?
Oh, yeah, there's going to be kids. The kids walking to school. There'll be kids everywhere. Kids on bikes, kids on skateboards.
Yep.
It's just the time to start thinking about it. And, you know, if you're one of those people that lives in the area of a school, mm-hmm. you know, start watching for them, start paying attention, be situationally aware. They're going to be out in full force here shortly.
And we'll have to get used to the next new normal again, which we have to get used to every August or September when schools go back into session. Now, I understand probably that this is more part of the fun part of your job is that you've got a new toy or two to play with at the fire department. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. The city council graciously approved the replacing two fire trucks. And last week we received the first one. In fact, they're training on it today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And then next week we will be going to do the final inspection and pick up the other truck and bring it back. So, yeah, very excited about these new pieces of apparatus.
What's the difference between the new apparatus and the ones that you'll be taking out of service?
Different type of pump.
Oh, is that right?
Is one. The new ladder truck is actually, the ladder is 10 feet higher than the truck that we're getting rid of. When it came to the old ladder truck, we were just at a point where, you know, getting parts was hard to find. They don't manufacture the engine that's in it anymore. I mean, the truck was 33 years old.
Wow.
So I think, you know, we got our money.
You got your money's worth. Your money's return on investment. Yeah.
So I think that helps. It's very easy to set up. It's a little bit shorter than our last one, so it's more maneuverable downtown. As far as the pumper, same deal. We're putting a different type of pump configuration in it. This pump actually would allow you to, if you start pumping and you move the truck, you can actually move the truck without having to shut the pump down.
Oh, is that right?
So both trucks will be able to do that. So that's another feature that is a good thing.
And I would imagine that could make a difference in whether a fire gets out of control or is put under control, because you don't have to delay fighting it while you move the vehicle.
Yeah, and probably the more important thing is, you know, fires sometimes, buildings collapse and fires move, and it provides us the ability to move the apparatus and protect it from getting damaged.
And these aren't cheap either, are they?
No.
That's always nothing's cheap anymore. Let's face it. But do you anticipate that you'll be able to get the years? I mean, you know, it's 33 years on an emergency vehicle is almost unheard of, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I don't know that you'll see 33 years out of this ladder truck. It all depends on how it's maintained and how it's taken care of. Is it realistic to see maybe 20 years out of it? Yeah, I would think that. I think what you need to take into consideration is that you can't just continue to run a truck frontline. You know, the more years and the more miles and the more use it has mm-hmm. on it, then things start to break. I think you need to have a balance of running it frontline and running it first out and then moving it to a reserve capacity. You know, keep it there, keep using it, but it's not running every day. So you prolong the number of years that you get out of it.
So anything else unique about these apparatus as compared to maybe some of the other trucks and other apparatus that are will still be in service?
You know, other than being new, not really. Mm-hmm. We're our current ladder truck that we're running, you know, was purchased in 2013, and the pumper in the one we're running right now was purchased in 2008. So, other than the pump and maybe the configuration of the cabs, those are the big changes in them.
Is it when you get a new vehicle, a new piece of apparatus, and is it kind of like Christmas morning for everybody?
Oh,
all the firefighters wanting to get out there, and get around, and go. Okay, who gets to drive it first?
yeah. Oh, yeah. You get that. Yeah, I was the first one to pump the fire truck. You didn't. Yeah, there's some natural competition there, and then something I want to point out is that once we get the second truck and we get them all, you know, get the radios installed and the mm-hmm. equipment on them, we'll hold a ceremony. It's called a housing ceremony at the fire station where we will actually push the trucks into the station, and you know, we'll send out an email on social media to invite the public to come and partake in that.
Always need ceremonies for those kind of things, always.
Hey, the fire department's full of traditions. That's one of them.
Yes, it is. One of the unfortunate traditions recently that everybody has been facing is staffing and all that. How are we doing with staffing in the fire department?
Right now, we're fully staffed. So, I'm going to have some more changes at the end of the year. I have another individual that's retiring mm-hmm. mid-November, so I'll have two more promotions, and we'll be bringing a new firefighter on in November, and then hopefully we're set for a little while.
Oh, that word, hopefully.
Yes,
there.
Hopefully. Yep.
So, is this the time of year that you start? I mean, basically, we've just started. We're just a couple of months into the fiscal year for the city, but are you already looking ahead to try to determine what needs are going to be down the road next year and the next 2 years?
That never stops, Ken. You're always reassessing that and looking at it. And we'll start, you know, I'm sure we'll start our budget preparations for next fiscal year here very soon.
So do you have any major purchases that you're looking at or anything that you're thinking, well, we're going to have to do a little bit of PR campaign to get this approved because it's not a PR campaign, but, you know, you got to get your ducks in a row in order to go to the city council and say, this is something I'd like to put in the budget, and here's why.
You know, we have been working, since I've been here, we've been working at that, replacing equipment, you know, replacing trucks, and, you know, adding equipment as we saw that it was necessary. So when it comes to those capital types of investments, mm-hmm. I don't foresee any big major things next year for us. I think we need to, right off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that we're going to need to politic for or, you know, really do a lot of explaining to the city council, because they've been very good about making sure that we've had the things that we need to do our job.
Well, if I was going to stump you on something, that would be a good one to stump you on, because that means you've got what it needs to perform the duties and what the public comes to expect when they have a fire, because nobody thinks about those things until they have a fire or they're around one.
Well, typically that's what happens. A lot of people don't know what they have for 911 service until they call it, and then they find out firsthand.
All right. Well, have fun getting to know your new toys.
All right. We appreciate it.
Always appreciate your time, David. Fire Chief David Ryerson, Marshalltown Fire Department, our guest today on Central Iowa Today here on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM.